last week we were telling you that the Nationals leader, David Littleproud, is calling for a highly regulated legal vape industry. He said that he admits his government got it wrong by pushing a failed prescription model. He said he backed the prescription model, but I've got to be big enough. I've got it wrong. He said vapes should be regulated similar to cigarettes. He says we're letting a black market take over and it's got out of control. You know, I guess the same could be said for any illegal drug. I mean, the ACT has taken steps to decriminalise and regulate cannabis to an extent. And maybe that's the next one that you should look at federally. But all drugs are run by a criminal element. All illegal drugs are run by an illegal element. Should all drugs be regulated and monitored by a government agency? David Littleproud, Nationals leaders on the line. It's always good to talk to you, David. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know you started off talking about vapes, but I know I've thrown in the whole drug argument because there is an argument that drugs should be legalised and regulated so the government can make sure they know what's in these things, because we've got schoolies coming up and parents are concerned about pills. But we'll stick with vapes at the moment. But a black market does take over anything that's illegal, doesn't it?
It does. And this is the thing, is that I was part of a government that thought the best way to regulate this was through prohibition, and prohibition that was through a prescription model that only you could go and get vapes through a pharmacist. 8% of Australians that vape at the moment have a prescription. So the model that we put in as a government didn't work. And I was part of the government that supported that. And I'm big enough to say I got that wrong. You've got to look at the data. You've got to look at the facts. And as legislators, you've got to be big enough to say, if you got it wrong, put your hand up and say, we got it wrong, and how do we do it this better? Mm. And what are we trying to protect, and who are we trying to protect? And the people that I actually has got around and see my electorate and around the country that I want to protect, the children, the under 18s. And so what's happening at the moment, we're not protecting them, is not just the men and women that are walking the streets and vaping, because they're getting a product that's unregulated and they're putting stuff in there into their bodies that we don't know anything about, but it's the under 18s. And this is the thing that really worries me, is that the children we're not protecting. So as a legislator, what do we do that's different to what we're doing at the moment if it hasn't worked? And admitting that we got it wrong, let's look at what has worked in the past. And what has worked in the past is, you think back a couple of decades ago, we looked at cigarettes and how juveniles were using cigarettes. Mm. And what we did is we regulated the point of sale. We legislated so that no one under 18 could use it. No one could buy it. And what we did was make sure that we prescribed the packaging. And in this case, I think we should prescribe what's in the product. So that not just protects kids, it protects adults as well. And then what you do is we can see a difference. And what we did when we did that with cigarettes, we saw an 80% reduction in juvenile use of cigarettes when we brought those regulatory rules in. Mm. So common sense tells us is, look at the past, look what's worked. Let's actually not go down a prohibition model that actually has seen perverse outcomes, and change and protect generations in the future. And if we put an excise on this, an excise that we've got to be very careful about, not to go overboard, but the money that we make out of that, we should put into education, into health programs, and particularly in regional Australia, protect regional Australians with regional health funding that looks after us. That's common sense, and I'm big enough to say I got it wrong. If the government wants to keep going down this path, I fear we're going to get a prohibition model. We are going to see the same results, and nothing will change for our kids. And I'm prepared to say, let's give this a go. And if I get this wrong, well, let's change, let's pivot. But we have gone down this path for far too long and it hasn't worked. There are kids that are on this. If you go and walk out in any community now, you talk to schools, you talk to Headspace, they're saying the biggest challenge they've got is kids on vapes, and parents are screaming at us, do something about this. But just trying to do prohibition model hasn't worked. Yeah. Do something that has worked.
Yeah. I agree. And the money you raise, you're talking about it going to exactly where I would have thought. Nationals leader David Littleproud is with us. But what about the other drugs? You know, we've seen people recently die of taking an overdose of something they didn't know what they were taking. And there's all that debate about pill testing at music festivals. Should the sniffer dogs and the police presence go away because it panics people? And I'm told that people take a handful of all the drugs they've got so they won't get caught. You've got schoolies coming up. There's a new drug that's entered Australia, metronidazole. I don't know if you've heard of it, a synthetic opiate, which is apparently more powerful than fentanyl, hundreds of times more potent than morphine. I mean, these drugs keep getting invented. They keep coming in. Should all drugs be regulated and run by the government to get rid of the black market?
No, I don't agree on that, because what's happening with cigarettes and vapes is that excise we're losing it goes to criminals. Yes, I get that there's issues around the quality of drugs that's coming in, but those drugs are mind altering, and they cause social issues with families and individuals. So they're a little bit different than vapes and cigarettes and alcohol to a different degree. But I'm not going to the point where we should legalise illicit drugs. I think that's a step too far. I think we've got to draw a line in the sand and protect our young people on that. And as a father of young boys, my oldest is 17. It worries me, and that's about my role as a father of saying.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, David.
I don't mind you going and having a beer when you're 18, and I'll have a beer with you, drink light beer, and be good. But drugs never go near that. This is the thing is, I think as a society, we've actually outsourced all our responsibility to government rather than as parents saying, this is our job. This is my job as a father to sit down with my young blokes and young girls and say, you just illicit drugs are bad. Alcohol, there's regulatory frameworks around that. Vaping, if we put regulatory framework around that, we can protect you. But illicit drugs are mind-altering, and we can't protect you. They are bad, and we've all got a responsibility to fight that stuff. And you know where we should be fighting this? Is not putting people away who have this stuff, but putting the people who peddle it away behind bars, and particularly those that peddle it to young children. There should be a higher penalty for someone who sells drugs to an under 18 than there is to an adult. They should go to jail for well above 25 years, because if we don't protect our children, we don't protect the next generation. Okay. So this is where we just got to be a bit sensible about this, get the balance right, and bring some common sense to the whole debate. And I think if we do that, we can protect children, have better health outcomes, not just on illicit drugs, but on cigarettes and alcohol as well.
Okay. I've got to keep moving because there's a lot to talk to you about, and you're in a hurry and there's so much to go. I will say this. My children, when they were your kids' age, I had the same thing, David. I said my advice was don't take it. You don't know what's in it. It could kill you. And I was told that I was a dinosaur, that you can tell your kids and try and educate them all you want. It goes in one ear and out the other, and most kids will experiment. That's what the experts were telling me. But I understand why you're so careful about it.
I'm more confident in our young people. If you sit down and you explain to them, you're prepared to have a beer with them at the kitchen table and explain to them the power of what can happen if you get things wrong. I actually think young people, I'd back them better than what the experts and academics say. You know your own kids, but take that by. That's your responsibility. That's the power of being being a parent. Go and take that responsibility and engage with them.
Yeah, no, I know. I've just explained to you
spot on, mate.
How I was sitting on the fence, and I was so concerned, and they were getting advice from counsellors at school, David, saying if you're going to take a pill, just take a quarter. Don't take the whole
education comes from you.
And I was saying, no, don't take it at all. But I was told I was told I was being unrealistic. Can we move on?
Tell them to bugger off. And your mum and dad, you're in charge. You tell them what to do.
Can we move on? The former Prime Minister Scott Morrison, former Prime Minister of the UK Boris Johnson, have recently visited Israel. Can you explain to me why our Prime Minister hasn't gone?
Well, no, I can't. And in fact, I can't understand why he went to the US last week. And we said, if you're going to go to the US, because we didn't think that was necessary, because he's going back to the US in about 2 or 3 weeks' time. He could have met Joe Biden then. But if he was going to go to the US and he wanted to cancel a week of Parliament, a week of us working through legislation, why not go to Israel and show solidarity? Now, put aside the broader debate about Palestine and Israel. This is about a terrorist organization, Hamas, that undertook an act on the 7th of October that was abhorrent. It was barbaric, a terrorist barbaric act that should be condemned by every nation. And all you would do, would you need to be able to show solidarity. When 9/11 happened, every government around this country, around this world, turned up and stood shoulder to shoulder with the US. We should have stood shoulder to shoulder with the Israeli government. Forget the broader debate. This was about a terrorist organization doing the wrong thing, a barbaric act that we should have stood next to the Israeli Prime Minister and said, we are with you and we will weed these germs out and we will destroy them because they will destroy society if we do not do the right thing. So no issue with the Palestinian people. There are many Palestinian families that are caught up in this.
Innocent
Palestinians have been caught up because of Hamas, not because of Israel, not because of anyone else. But we've got to be firm on this, because if we do not, this cancer will spread, and it will spread worldwide. And this is where Anthony Albanese, he went to the US just because of it was a consolation prize, because Joe Biden came to Australia. He got to go to dinner, but he was going to the US anyway in another month's time. Why not have this extravagance again in the US, go through Israel and stand next to the Prime Minister of Israel and say, we will get these mongrels and we will destroy them. We will destroy them and Hezbollah and anyone else that wants to destroy our way of life.
Okay.
That is solidarity. Sure. That is the way that we should work as a society internationally.
Sure, but you and I have just agreed there are also thousands and thousands of innocent Palestinians who are being killed in all of this. Yesterday, in the Senate, the Greens staged a walkout over the government's inaction in not calling for a ceasefire. The Greens also gave the coalition a bit of a hammering as well before they walked out. Do you think there should be a ceasefire?
No, mate. I think you understand that this is a complex environment, and much of this is happening below ground through the tunnels. And unfortunately, Hamas is hiding themselves in a weak way underneath schools and hospitals. And what you got to understand is there is an environment that's happening on the ground. And so we need to understand that. And before we get carried away in an ideological view, we need to understand the practical application of this. And this is much that we've got to be very careful of and put in our opinion in not understanding it. The Greens are just looking for headlines. I think principally what we've got to say, it comes back to simple principles. This was a terrorist organisation, and if the Greens want to sit there, there are innocent Palestinians that are being hurt. The only reason they're being hurt is because of Hamas. Now, you've got to understand that there is a practical application of this, is that there are Israelis that are being killed because of this organisation are using the lowest standard of human life form in doing what they are doing. But if this was happened to Australians, if this was the Australian government and we had to fight this in the same way, I'm sure there's many of your listeners tonight saying they would expect the Australian government, despite the casualties that might happen, to go in and as carefully as they possibly can, to destroy this actual element as quickly as they can, because that is their business model. They won't change it. They're not going to change it because we're saying, oh, let's play nice with everybody. They're never going to change that. If you want to destroy this element, you've actually got to be able to go in. And while we want Israel to be careful, and we're asking them to be careful, you've got to understand the practical realities of this. And if this happened to Australia and it happened to another and asked us to go and do it, you would expect us to do it as carefully as we could, but you would ask us to go and do it, because the greater good is, if we don't do this, it tears away their very safety, our security. And as sad as that is, unfortunately, governments have to make that decision sometimes. And I hope, as a politician, I never have to do that. I hope I never have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I understand where Israel is coming from. They are protecting their people. And you've got to understand, you'd expect that of us.
Okay. David Littleproud is with me, Nationals leader. Quick question. Albanese is in China trying to secure up trade, where there's been a massive void for way too long now. Do you concede that he's done a good job to get to at least this part of the table?
Yes, he has. It's been very good. I think Don Farrell's done a good job. But what I believe is that he's actually lived up to the principles and values that we did when China actually imposed that economic coercion on us. we actually said, we don't care. We're going to stand up to you. We're going to stand up to a bully. We're going to punch you back in the face. If you don't like it, that's okay. And it's taken that, and it's taken Anthony Albanese and Penny Wong and Don Farrell the courage to say, we're going to live by that principle, and we'll come back. And if you want to play nice and you want to have that dialogue, then we'll have it. So they've done a good job. And you've got to give credit where credit's due. Yeah. And I hope that the $1.2 billion wine industry will be the one that gets ticked off in the next couple of days. So you give credit where it's due. But they haven't deviated from the position we did. But they've done a good job, and you've got to say that.
Well, one of my best mates is Michael Hope, owner of Hope Estate up in the Hunter Valley. He's crossing all his fingers as well. So there you are.
I am too, mate. I am too. And I honestly hope that happens. It'd be a great thing. But we've done the right thing. And I've got to tell you, the wine industry has been the hardest hit, but they were the strongest in support of standing up to China. And we should all drink an extra bottle of red tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, not
yeah,
tomorrow morning.
Hope Kraken is
10,
the...
Anyway, wait Hope, till after 10.
David, Hope Kraken, order it in. It is sensational. If you like a Shiraz and you like a Cab Merlot, it's somewhere in the middle. You'll absolutely love that. You will absolutely love that. David Littleproud, there's plenty more to talk about. We've run out of time. Let's catch up again soon, hey?
Sounds good, mate. Thanks for having me.
Always good to talk to you. Nationals leader, David Littleproud, here on The Night Shift on Triple M.